Please remain standing for our scripture lesson. It's Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 43, 1 through 7. I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. But now, thus says the Lord, the one who created you, O Jacob, the one who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy God, we ask your presence and your Holy Spirit. I ask that you use the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts to guide, guard, and direct us. For you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. I am left-handed. Anybody say, oh no? And I am cross-eyed as well. I wear contacts, and when I'm not wearing contacts, I wear very thick glasses. I have 2500 vision in this eye. It goes cross if it's not corrected. I have a weird name, Veronita, and I was born in Zimbabwe, Africa. My parents were missionaries there. What am I doing here at Francis Asbury Church? Well, it is a long story, but it begins with me when I was a teenager, where I made two promises. I will never become a preacher, and I will never marry one. Did you know that never say never should really be the 11th commandment? Especially when it comes to being in relationship with the living God. Because when you say never, God says, let's wait and see. God will take you where you do not want to go and put you among people so interesting and challenging that you've never even imagined them in your wildest dreams. Can I get an amen? Amen. Thank you. God will push you, even if you have your heel stuck in the sand. God will push you until you say, yeah, all right. I see what you mean. Robert Frost is one of my favorite poets, and he said that he had a lover's quarrel with the world. You know how people who love each other quarrel? Raise your hand if you do. Okay, ever been in a family disagreement or a family argument? It can get nasty, right? It can get nasty. When you really love somebody, there can be knockdown, drag-out word fights full of questions and tough issues. Sometimes these word fights are packed with anger. They're bursting with emotions that are all not necessarily nice and fluffy. Emotions like anger and guilt and shame. And who wants to deal with those, right? People who love you can hit you below the belt. And I'm not talking about with fists. They can hit you where it really hurts. Yet, if you are in a family or in a loving family or a loving relationship, lovers' quarrels have a basic agreement at the bottom of them all. Love never ends. There is the commitment to love each other that is strong enough to withstand all the questions and the rough waters which threaten to tear down relationships and tear people apart. So I would say, I have a lover's quarrel with God. As a child of missionary parents who have given their whole lives to the call of Christ, and as a preacher's kid too, I thought that God had demanded enough of my family. I felt that God had exacted enough from my early childhood, which was chock full of transition and troubles. I majored in English literature at UNC Greensboro, and I wanted to be a doctor, and I wanted to make a difference in the world. But I had some very powerful experiences on the Scandinavian caravan. Have you heard about that? It's an exchange of young people that's been going on probably for 60 years between young adults in Western North Carolina and young adults all over Scandinavia. In 1989, I went on the caravan to Scandinavia to help strengthen the United Methodist Church there with faith sharing and telling stories. I had a powerful experience on that caravan, and I also had some very powerful experiences in campus ministry with the campus minister there named Ron Moss. I had planned and I had worked toward going to medical school, all except for my F in organic chemistry. Now, that's the only course I've ever failed in my whole life. And I thought, I'm going to try again. And I had encouragement from professors who I thought were very wise. And I took it again, and I made a big fat D. Well, this caused me to think twice, three times, four times, five times about this career path. I thought it would be important for a doctor to know how to read that periodic table and, like, see how things interact and that kind of thing. Plus, there were only two sentences that stuck in my craw. They got stuck in my throat and they got stuck in my heart. And it made me try to figure out exactly what I was supposed to do with my life. I wrote a poem about the Berlin Wall in 1989. And I shared it in campus ministry. And a campus ministry friend named Pam came up to me later and said, "You know, Veronita, you should really use your writing in your work." I thought, what? And then on the caravan, we were speaking at the Finnish speaking annual conference of the Danish United Methodist Church. That's tricky, I know. It was about 50 people at a sanctuary not unlike this, and our words had to be translated one line at a time. So in the midst of my faith sharing and translating those words, I heard a caravaner speak, she whispered in English, but my friends, she could have been screaming it out from the top of her lungs because I heard her words so clearly, and she said, "She's going to be a minister someday." I took this as an insult. This put me to wrestling and fighting like nobody's business. And then I got into deal making. Have you ever thought that you could control God to the point that you could make a deal with God? Isn't that foolish business? But I've done it. I still do it today. You're going to have to get me out of that, okay? I started making deals. I prayed, "Okay, God, if you're leading me into some kind of ministry, you've got to show the way. And if I get this full scholarship to seminary, then I'll go. If not, I'll take it as a sign, and I won't go." Well, you can tell who won that lover's argument. Right? Who won that lover's quarrel? God won that lover's quarrel. And here I am introducing myself as your new pastor. You're stuck with me, I'm afraid. And that's the thing about Isaiah. Through the whole book of the prophet Isaiah, it's the way he puts God's call on your life, the way God loves us, and the way Isaiah beautifully talks about God's love. God's love is so persistent, especially here in these 7 verses of 43. God's love is so persistent that God would ransom the whole country of Egypt in order to show God's love for us. That's really amazing. God would pursue us to the point that God would exchange land so that we might belong to God. God called me out of love, and because I wanted to make a difference in the world, I like to call myself a soul doctor. But you see, the thing is that God calls each of us out of love, and where we want to make a difference in the world, and where our gifts match the world's deepest need, well, that's our vocation. And that's what the Protestant reformer called vocation, Martin Luther, called vocation. Where our gifts meet the world's deepest need. And all of us have one. All of us have a calling, a vocation as baptized Christians. And our vocations as baptized Christians and believers in Jesus are callings. They're the purpose-filled way we live out our relationship with the living and loving God. Through God, working in the appointment process in the United Methodist Church, you're stuck with me, I'm afraid. I'm called into full-time Christian service here at Francis Asbury, in this place, in this season of my life. And we've got to get used to each other, and we've got to break each other in like Fred's old broken-down shoes. We've got to get comfortable with each other. There may be a few blisters, and you may need to tell me that I cannot fill Fred's shoes because sometimes I might try. I have hope, though, because you loved Fred and Renee and their 3 kids so much. I have hope that you might grow to love me and Joe and Olivia and Ivan. The heart really has a large capacity for love, greater than we really imagine or realize. So a call from God is not just to the pastor. A call from God is to each of us. Can I get an amen? Amen. I want you to say, God is calling me. God is calling me. And we'll think about that question as time goes on. The God who created you and formed you, O Francis Asbury friends, what are you called to do? Maybe you're called to write notes to sick and shut-in folks. Maybe you're called to serve at the welcome table. Maybe mowing the grass and maintaining our beautiful grounds is your thing. Maybe visiting the jailhouse might be your thing. Maybe your thing is baking homemade brownies for the tadpoles' trip next week to Screamin' Eagle. Or maybe teaching Sunday school might be your thing. What about being the sign fairy? Anybody feel called to be a sign fairy? We're looking for one. Somebody to maintain the sign on Asbury Road. Somebody to put those letters up on that sign and make sure that everybody who drives back and forth on Asbury Road knows that we're here. But more importantly, everybody who drives back and forth on Asbury Road knows that God is here and God is at work. Can I get an amen? God is calling us by name and claiming us to be God's very own. God is saying, follow in the sandals of the one who saves. God is saying, you're precious. And you're honored in my sight, and I love you. Hear my voice calling you in the night. It will be with you through choppy waters and hot fires. And even when the river reaches flood stage, God will be here, loving us and calling us to be God's witnesses at Francis Asbury, in Candler, in Asheville, and in North Carolina, and to the ends of the earth. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for worship and prayer and praise. And we ask that you use us this week in ministry and mission in this place and in our work and in our play. Use us in ways we do not expect. Put us to your work, challenging us to do things that perhaps we may not want to do. Keep our hearts and minds open to where your Spirit leads, and help us to remember you are calling. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite Mr. Charles Gidney forward. We're going to receive Mr. Gidney into membership today, and we're following along on page 38 in the hymnal, but it will also be projected on the screen. I had a wonderful visit with Mr. Gidney this past week. My dad and mom are connected in all kinds of ways to all kinds of people, and Maggie Tilly Facebooked my dad and said, "My dad goes to the church where your daughter's going to be the pastor." Come on up, Charles. And I don't even have a Facebook page, but my dad has one. And and Maggie does too. So do you have a Facebook page?
No.
No, we might need one. I don't know. Mr. Gidney is a man who is wise and full of life experience. He's been active in Methodist churches all around us, in Canton and in Waynesville and in other places. He's coming to us from Canton United Methodist Church, and he is also a musician, a grand musician. And we look forward to how his gifts will meet our deepest needs for joy and foot stomping with some bluegrass music. So, Mr. Gidney, I have just one question for you, and that is, as a member of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service?
I certainly will.
Thank you. And we have some words for Mr. Gidney. Members of the household of God, I commend to you this person to your love and care. I ask that you do all in your power to increase his faith and confirm his hope and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Thank you. If you